Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFARL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFARL senior correspondent Merhat Sharifjan. Hi, Merhat. Good to have you on the show again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me today.
Absolutely. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about two things, mainly the election in Ukraine and the new Kazakh interim president's trip to Moscow this week. It's his first trip abroad since he took office. Merhat, I want to ask you about this one first. Kasym Jomart Tokayev is due in Moscow on Wednesday, April 3rd. He took office less than 2 weeks ago after Nursultan Nazarbayev resigned about a year before his term was to end. Though Nazarbayev is keeping some key posts and seems likely to retain a lot of power in a country he ruled since before the Soviet Union fell apart. Now, Nazarbayev maintained good relations with Russia and with President Vladimir Putin, but he also cultivated ties with China and the West, among others, and Kazakhstan's energy reserves have given the country like clout or footing with Russia and around the world that some other former Soviet republics just don't have. Merhat, do you think it's meaningful that Tokayev is making his first trip abroad to Russia, or is it just sort of symbolic? And what do you think the two leaders will be looking to get out of this visit?
Well, I think the visit is symbolic, and it is meaningful, as any symbol is. So I think Tokayev's visit to Russia is just not his decision only. It's also Nazarbayev's decision as well, because Nazarbayev continues to control the foreign policy, among other policies, of Kazakhstan. And it's not clear who initiated the visit. First of all, it might be Russia itself who invited Tokayev, because if you look at the situation right now around Eurasian Economic Union, which is a major and key factor or key idea of Moscow today to reestablish its control over former Soviet republics using this and inviting other republics to join Eurasian Economic Union. Any talks with Belarusian President Lukashenko, we know that Belarus is another important member of this union, and actually the three, Russia, Kazakhstan, and Belarus, are the most important members here. And every time Lukashenko meets with Putin, he later makes some statements which are very contradictory and very hard to understand, but it's clear that something is not so good in those relations, I mean, between Minsk and Moscow. Meanwhile, Nazarbayev has never did this kind of comments. He was more political, or more, I would say, common sense politician. And I think Tokayev's visit to Moscow might be used by Moscow, by Putin and the Kremlin, the relations with another important key member of the Eurasian Economic Union are still there, and the vector, this direction of the policy of Kazakhstan didn't change. So it's one thing. Another thing, I think, is we know that Nazarbayev has been skillfully balancing between the centers of power, between Moscow, China, and I will not be surprised if Tokayev's next visit will be to China, and between the West and the Muslim world. And I think Tokayev was a key person in this politics of Nazarbayev. And Tokayev was a foreign minister for many years, and he will continue this balancing policies, which was called and is continues to be called multivectoral policies of Kazakhstan.
Yeah. I mean, those are good points. I think I agree. You know, it seems like the trip is meant on both sides, maybe in part to show that there's continuity and to show that, that Russia has kind of a solid partner in the Eurasian Economic Union in Kazakhstan. And as you say, that contrasts, I mean, for Putin, that's a nice contrast with Lukashenko, who's as you mentioned, is always making these controversial comments. And I think, you know, it doesn't, for Tokayev and for Nazarbayev and Kazakhstan, the price of you know, having the first trip be to Moscow is not high. I mean, nobody in China is going to be upset about that or anything. So I think, you know, it's something that probably made sense for, you know, for Astana or Nur Sultan, as you'd call it now. And, you know, you mentioned the idea that the situation with Belarus is a bit different. And I think, I mean, that's might be a good segue. Obviously, one of, you know, one of the reasons that Ukraine is now so separate from Russia, and there's even a war going on between the Russia-backed separatists and Ukraine, is that Russia was attempting to get Ukraine into the Eurasian Economic Union at the same time that Ukraine was moving closer to the European Union, and then Yanukovych scrapped the plans for a closer deal with the EU, and then the Maidan protests blew up, and now you have a new election in Ukraine. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is here, you know, Belarus is a bit of a problematic partner for Russia at times. Ukraine is no longer a partner in any way at the moment, at least, and. So, you know, Russia is obviously struggling to deal with what's going on in Ukraine. So I wanted to just kind of contrast the situations in Kazakhstan and Ukraine and how Putin may be looking at that. Nazarbayev's succession is apparently being closely managed. As you say, you know, Nazarbayev still holding lots of power. Tokayev is going to be in office until a new election in about a year. And possibly Nazarbayev's daughter, Dariga, will be her father's favorite in that election. It's unclear right now. But in any case, the situation is sort of being tightly controlled. At least that's how it appears from the outside and probably from the inside as well. There's a lot of talk about whether Putin will try to take a similar path at the end of his term in 2024 in Russia or sometime before that. In other words, step down and steer a successor into office. In Ukraine, the situation is obviously very different, and there was an actual election held yesterday, and the incumbent won apparently less than 20% of the vote, Poroshenko, while a comic and TV personality with no political background won about 30%. And so he's headed, that's Volodymyr Zelensky, and he's headed for a runoff on April 21st against Poroshenko. It seems possible that just in terms of how Moscow is viewing this election, it seems possible that the candidates, among the candidates who ever had a chance in the election in Ukraine, Zelensky is maybe the best option for the Kremlin, although it's not really clear, in part because he's a bit of an unknown. I mean, he was obviously dogged by accusations of being close to Russia, but the same went for Tymoshenko. And Russia was clearly, or the Kremlin was clearly calling for Poroshenko's time in office to be over. But, I mean, if you look at what Zelensky said when asked what he would say at his first meeting with Putin if he's elected, he said, well, he kind of suggested once Putin learns that he is the winner, Putin would hand back Crimea and parts of eastern Ukraine. So, you know, that's not something that Putin is going to really like to hear, however serious or not it is, or however serious he is about trying to do that when he gets into office. But on another level, just in terms of electoral politics and, you know, the different countries, this is a political novice who got 30% of the vote for president. That's about what Alexei Navalny got in the mayoral election in Moscow in 2013. So I don't think it's the kind of thing that Putin wants to see, because just on almost a visceral level, because obviously some Russians may look over and say, wow, look what can happen. Someone who's pretty unknown or is known but is not in politics, is not part of the system, gets 30%. And in this case, that's the most votes anyone got. I saw a funny tweet today that said, how do you say second round in Russian, which was kind of a joke on that theme, a joke about the fact that Putin has always won in the first round, even in 2000, and then in 2004, 2012, and last year. So Russian state media are portraying the election in Ukraine as kind of a fraud-marred mess. We'll get a evaluation from the international observers in a few hours, but I doubt it will be as critical or of alleged violations as the Russian state-run media are. Merhaba, what do you think the Kremlin is thinking about this election, the election in Ukraine at this point?
Well, as you said, it's a bad example. I say bad in quote unquote, as Putin might think, for Russian citizens who could see that the sixth president of Ukraine after the independence was obtained following the collapse of the Soviet Union is going to run the neighbor. And he was elected, I mean, after Kravchuk, Kuchma, Yushchenko, Yanukovych, Poroshenko, now we have the sixth president if Zelensky is a president. So meanwhile, in Russia, it's only one president for so many years. It's one thing. Another thing is, on one hand, yes, they probably don't want Poroshenko there in the office, but to deal with Zelensky, I also don't think that it's a convenient person for Russia to have a president in the neighboring country. First of all, as you mentioned, when Zelensky said the first thing I'm going to say when I meet with Putin is going to get back Crimea, or Putin will give up Crimea and Donbass right away. You never know when Zelensky speaks if he is still joking or is he exaggerating or he is serious. Even during his campaign, it was very hard to see what he meant. It always was like hints, some driving, some subtle statements and stuff like that. So he's going to be an actor. And sometimes politicians, for politicians to be actors may be good, because politicians often lie, as we know. But it's very unpredictable right now. Maybe Poroshenko would be better for Russia, because they at least know him, and his or Tymoshenko know them for many years, and they know what they're gonna say, or to see ahead and to see what their next steps are gonna be. With Zelensky, it's a bit difficult. First of all, not only because he is a comedian and actor by profession, but also we know that Mr. Kolomoisky, the powerful oligarch, is behind him. And we know that Putin he said several times openly and in public how deeply he doesn't like Kolomoisky. And we'll see. Time will show how it's going to all happen. We have a second round. And it will be clear what is going to happen. And I think Poroshenko's team will not sit and wait when the second run appears and takes place. And they will be doing something to make the Poroshenko to do something to reach the victory for Poroshenko.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I agree. I think, but it seems like there's sort of not many great options for Russia here either way. And you mentioned, you know, sometimes they want, and many countries sometimes want, continuity, or, you know, a president, a leader they can understand in office nearby. But I think Russia will try to. I think the Kremlin will, you know, if Zelensky does win in the runoff, you know, I think the Kremlin will try to hope to take advantage of whatever chaos there might be, or not. I'm not talking about, like, you know, chaos in terms of on the streets, but, you know, it'll be a little less clear what kind of a government will be formed and that sort of thing. So I think the Kremlin will try to take advantage of that uncertainty, if that's the outcome. And meanwhile, we'll continue to, you know, to talk about it a lot on the state TV. Well, I spoke for too long, probably, and we're running out of time, so let's wrap it up for today. Thanks a lot, Merhaba, and I'll be back. I'll be back with a guest next Monday. Meanwhile, keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward.